We're in John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. In a sermon entitled, The Last Supper. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I, too, will love them and show myself to them. Father in heaven, we pray today that the message that you provided to your disciples would become a message that is concrete for us. Lord, help us to be people who can do more than talk the talk of faith, but walk the walk of faith. In Christ's name, amen. Our moments with missions, I wanted to share a story about Dr. Stephen Heyer, and he was the president of Columbia Theological Seminary. And he told a story about a young teacher that he had met several years ago in Uganda. He met a teacher. Her name was Christine Nakvima. Christine grew up in a rural village in Bokika. And when she was 5 years old and her sister Harriet was 7 and her little brother was 4, their parents both died within 3 months of each other of AIDS. The three siblings lived for nearly 2 years on their own. They had no parents, only the food they could scavenge from the fertile Ugandan countryside, no one to care for them. Often they huddled in the corner of their mud hut because their roof couldn't hold out the rain. Why wasn't there anyone to care for them? It was because most of the adults in their rural area had died of AIDS too. The lives of these three children reeked of a desperation that you and I cannot ever even imagine. But eventually, they were found by a missionary who was helping to make a census of the orphaned children in that district. And about this time, something quite dramatic happened, though at the time it seemed insignificant. Far, far away from Uganda, in Australia, of all places, there was a young teacher, and her name was Julie Ann DiBattista. And she heard about what this missionary was doing. And she decided and felt called to take a little bit of her salary each month to sponsor a child in need. It was a small step of faith for Julie. Then what would happen is it'd have some pretty large results. She was matched with, Christine Nakvima in Uganda. And with the help of donors like Julie, a new home was built for those kids. Enough food was there for them. Clothes were there for them. School was paid for them. And when Christine's brother got really sick, he got medical attention, though he tragically died. The two surviving girls became part of a local church, where some older children and another missionary also helped them. And they began to take conscious steps toward faith. Rob, you keep talking about the unreached people. This is unreached people and some ways little ways that we can help out. I'll continue. Julianne, far off in Australia, continued to pray. She didn't just send her money, she prayed. She prayed and sponsored Christine throughout her high school years, and then when asked if she would continue to sponsor her, Julianne helped Christine go to teacher's college because she was a very gifted young woman. When Stephen Hayner met Christine, she and her sister Harriet had been teaching several years in the school in Boquico where she grew up. She was now educating a whole new generation of children. And she said, if it were not for God's love and our church, you know, I would be dead. If I had survived childhood, I'd probably been forced into prostitution as a teenager, only to die of AIDS before I was 20. Instead, she is now changing history in her village, one step of faith at a time. Julianne DiBattista, the young teacher in Australia that could only give a small amount of her salary each month to help these girls, could never have imagined what her very small steps of faith and trust would one day accomplish for hundreds and hundreds of children through Christina and Harriet. You know, I want to let you know that there is no gift that's too small. The widow's mite was seen as so much more than all the money that the other person put in. We're not talking about money here. We're talking about doing our part, and I'm so glad our church hears Moments with Missions each week. Talks about the persecuted church and unreached people. But this gets us into our passage for today. Here in the Gospel of John, it's set. And it's set the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his betrayal and his crucifixion. The events are coming together in a traumatic way for the disciples, but he wants them to know that they will not be alone. He wants them to know that they will not be alone. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, verse 15, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, Jesus speaking here, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Get that. He's talking to his disciples that are about to lose Jesus. They're about to lose one they love. They're about to lose one that they get strength from. They're about to lose the leader of the movement. They're going to feel as though they are orphans. It is as though he is their father, their spiritual father. And he's trying to prepare them for that moment when he will not be with them. He says, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Verse 18. Remember this because he speaks it to you and to me today as he did to his disciples. I will not leave you as orphans. For some of us that have such difficult, trying times in our lives that we wonder, where are you, God? We feel as though we have been orphaned. That our parent, our spiritual parent, the God of the ages, is not there. But The promises of Scripture are true. He is not leaving us orphans. Right now, in this place, available to you and me is the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the person who we need with the fighting angels to fight the fight. The battle is raging. It belongs to the Lord. But we cannot be wimpy soldiers who are not doing our part. Jesus says, I will come to you. And here it gets real tough. They're trying to understand, always Jesus, they're trying to get it. Just like we talked about Lazarus, and they didn't get it, Mary and Martha, about what was about to happen. Jesus can do anything. So all our prayer requests, all the things we're talking about, guess what? There was a guy who was dead. I mean, really dead. And Jesus spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth, and by the words of Almighty God, who spoke this world into existence, Lazarus came forth. We serve the God of the impossible. We are not orphans, and no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it gets, we must understand the promises of Scripture. You know, when I think of orphans, think of children like Christine, her young brother and sister, all under the age of 8. Okay? Jade is 10. Minus 2. All under the age of 8. They're doing it all by themselves. Living in a mud hut. No one to care for them. But somebody did care. A young teacher in Australia, and it made all the difference. Our lesson for the day says that we need not live as orphans. It says to us that there is someone who cares for us. Think about that for a moment. I think that there is not a lot of things that can be so horrible as to be orphaned at a young age. What can be more tragic than to be deprived of the love of a parent? We think of these two young girls and the woman that we're praying for and can't even begin to imagine what they would feel were she to be taken from them. But, you know, a lot of fine people have been found in that position. Type into Google and search terms, famous orphans. You read the name of many outstanding people from different fields who accomplished much in life in spite of their misfortune. Eleanor Roosevelt. Her mother died in 1892 from diphtheria. When she was 9, her father died from the same disease. She was raised by her maternal grandmother. She always did have compassion for people. Not a perfect person by any stretch of the imagination, but a person who was able to overcome and help others in spite of being an orphan. Some other remarkable people were orphaned, not by the death of their parents, but because of a breakup in their families. It resulted in them being put up for adoption, being abandoned by your natural parents is a really hard thing to take and accept. You know, guess who some of those people were? Steve Jobs, Nelson Mandela, John Lennon, President Andrew Jackson, quite a few other people. there are lots of people who have found themselves orphaned. And I just want to say to you this morning that the truth is there are times when all of us feel like orphans. That means that there are times when we feel helpless. There are times we feel alone. There are times we feel forsaken. Someone close is taken from us. We're confronted with the reality of our own mortality. Or for some reason, we experience some intense physical or psychological pain. And at such times, we may feel that even God Himself has forsaken us. It is not a unique experience. Remember, even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, called out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even Jesus Christ felt orphaned at that moment in his life. You know, there's some people that never recover from this experience of abandonment, but there is a message of truth that comes pouring out from this message of the gospel. God cares, and God doesn't want you to feel like you're an orphan. He doesn't want you to feel like you're forsaken. It's an interesting story. Now that JCPenney is having some real difficulties, the start of JCPenney was kind of interesting. His name was James Cash Penny. I kid you not, I don't know why they put the penny in the cash. So, you know, that's why he would actually say JC, who would want to say cash. One time, he was one of the country's most successful entrepreneurs. He made more than one fortune in his lifetime, but he experienced more failures than you can imagine. Heartbreaks along the way. In 1898, he worked for a couple of guys operating some stores called the Golden Rule Stores, and he worked and worked and worked and worked, and he worked so hard that he bought the two guys out. And then, in 1910, as he's doing all this, his wife died. A crushing blow. At a friend's suggestion, he said, hey, JC, you might want to give to others. Perhaps that will help you with this pain that you're going through. In 1916, he met his second wife. 8 years later, she died. He married a third time, poured his life into his work, and by 1929, he had accumulated a net worth of $40 million. Now, that's back when $40 million was a lot of money. Then the Great Depression wiped out everything, every penny. He was devastated emotionally. He was devastated physically. He entered a sanitarium in Battle Creek, Michigan. And as he lay in a sanitarium bed one day, he heard a familiar hymn coming from the chapel. And the hymn was an old gospel favorite titled, God Will Take Care of You. And that song contained the message that Penny needed to hear. At this low point in his life, he didn't want to live like an orphan. He wanted to know that somebody cared about him. The doctors said, you're not going to live. Prognosis, But he wasn't going to give up. He cried out to God. And the Lord answered his request. His depression lifted. He left the sanitarium. He built his fortune. Established the company we know today as J.C. Penney. I bet you never knew the cash. Now you'll have it. For decades and decades, he gave away millions and millions of dollars and shared his faith in God with anyone who would listen. He died at the age of 95, still trusting that God would take care of him. Just as a matter of interest, In 1940, during a visit to one of his stores in Iowa, Penny trained a young Penny's employee named Sam Walton on how to wrap packages with a minimal amount of paper and ribbon. That is, you know, Sam Walton, who founded Walmart, one of the largest department store chains. I want to tell you something. There were times in JCPenney's life when he was devastated, when he felt forsaken, when he was told, it's up, your time is over. But God never gave up on him, and God promised that he would take care of him, and that word and that song is the song and the message God is speaking to you and to me today. God will take care of you in every way or all the way. He will take care of you. My God will take care of you. You are not alone in this world. It is the promise that Jesus made to the disciples. They couldn't imagine that just in a couple more days he would be put to death. They certainly couldn't imagine that he would be resurrected on the third day, or that he would actually send the Holy Spirit upon them 50 days later on Pentecost. But everything he said to them in this passage came true. And if you're going through a difficult time right now, take him at his word. I, verse 18, will not leave you as orphans. Because I live, he says, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show them to himself. Very powerful, encouraging words to us all. Jesus said, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. This is the great good news of the gospel. Let us ingest it. Let us digest it. Let us use it to empower us for kingdom work. And then let us share it with the world. You can and do make a difference. Your little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hand. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we are not orphans, that you are here with us. Help us today. Speak to us today. Heal us today. In Jesus' name, amen.